Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about lessons from my grandfather, Wisdom for Success in Business and Life by Mark Demetriou. It is a great book, and what we're talking about today is how are we doing our daily life? Where are we going? Who are we? What is this world all about? So many people are saying, you know, I really wanted that job because I had to have this. They get a job, they get that, or they don't get that, and they're like, that's not satisfying. They constantly are looking outside themselves for that answer about what or who they are and the success or how they want to live their life without really having a connection about our life and our success is what we do each day. It's how we live our life. It's how we treat the people around us. It's how we engage in the work that we do. It's how we are just as a person. What are our values? I asked someone the other day, I said, what are your values? What are your thoughts about life? And they're like, you're just too deep. You just need to, whatever. I don't think that thing. I just show up every day and hack it out for the day, and the day is the next day. Well, that might work for some people, but I think now we are really coming into a true awakening of our spiritual side, our side that we're really paying attention to our place in the world, and we really know that the world doesn't have to be what we were always thought it would be. We can change it. We can make things different, and we can make them better. Mark, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be on.
So, Mark, don't you think the world has really evolved? I would even say in the last 2 to 5 years, we wouldn't have this conversation probably 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, I agree. You know, the way things are now, especially with social media and, you know, a lot of these younger generation, you know, tapping into everything on social media, I think the foundation of the youth of today of just understanding success, you know, what it takes to be successful, to be a good person, to do the right thing, to work hard. You know, there's a lot behind that. The answer to your question is yes, definitely yes.
You know, I think sometimes when we look at life, we think it's a place that we have to attain. How many letters behind our name? How long is our obituary? And we have to really make sure that we make a mark in the world. You know, everybody's saying on social media, the more likes you have, the better you are. And we sometimes get caught up in that exterior side. So really your book, Lessons from My Grandfather, is really about looking about your part on your inside and how you appear in the world instead of that outside influence, right?
I agree 100%. And, you know, the driving force of why I wrote the book, too, and just understanding my grandfather and having read the book, and, you know, you understand this. My grandfather said to me, you know, I left home at 16 years old to make something of myself, to be something, to make a difference in this world. And, you know, that's pretty powerful to leave, you know, your country and your family and everything you have with nothing to say, I want to be something. I want to be somebody and contribute to the world. And having read the book, the fashion of how he did it, just who he was and how he inspired others and just enjoyed life. There's just, you know, we got one chance at life. This is it. You know, every day you wake up, you have 24 hours in a day, and how you use it is up to you. But, you know, success is a choice. How you live is a choice. It's all around you. It's really how you want to, you know, how you want to deal with life and be in life and live your life.
You know, if we really listen to our elders, I think we learn a lot. I know my elders, my grandparents, they came over from Ireland, you know, and, you know, you can go back and you can look at the records and see, you know, when they came over and stuff. And I know it was hard. They were in the Northeast and they were in the mountains and it was cold. And they ended up, you know, working in the mines, you know, until it killed them. and because of all the minds and, you know, breathing and everything. But we look at it and we say they really attained, you know, a place. They came over with nothing. They had homes. They had children. They did the best they could. And then each generation afterwards just always assumed a higher level. In other words, we grew. We took what they knew, what they shared with us, how they experienced life, and we built on that. And I think sometimes we don't have these, we don't know these stories, then we aren't able to build anything going forward. We're kind of just saying, you know, hey, you know, visualizing what we see on TV as probably the norm, right?
Absolutely correct. And, you know, and having mentors or having the stories behind the facts, in a sense, of, again, relating back to me in my life, you know, my grandfather, you know, having come to this country in 1929, on November 15th, literally 16 or 17 days after the stock market crash, which led to the worst depression that, you know, we've ever seen.
Right.
And you think about coming there at that point, starting with nothing, just getting out of Ellis Island with just, you know, one friend. He would just figure it out, you know, get on the street and start making money or shining shoes or waitering or whatever he could do. But, you know, to make it through all that and come ahead, it couldn't have been a worse time in this world. And under his circumstances, you know, I had that as a mentor. I had that, in, you know, that belief inside me that you could be anything, you could do anything. You know, I tell kids today when I even lecture, is you have a roof over your head and a meal on the table, boy, you got a great start. That's a great start to the day.
Right.
And, you know, the stories of the grandparents or your parents and just understanding, you know, just you have so much opportunity around you and just, you know, to take advantage of it and to enjoy life. So there's a lot of misleadings, and there's not a lot of guidance by parents these days. You want to make your kids better, stronger, smarter, inspire them. You know, you want to see the younger generation continue to get ahead and learn what I've learned, now take it and go. Learn what I learned, take it and go. Continue on with the generation. So that's a very powerful statement you're making, but that's really the way it should be.
Right, and it also, too, makes a difference when we do hear these stories that we listen to the background. It's not always about that, yes, we walked, you know, in the snow to get to school. Yeah, I did it, you
know. Right, uphill.
You know,
uphill.
Who did it?
No shoes on.
Right. And actually, it was uphill, but I did have shoes on.
Right.
But to listen about the back part of it, to say, you know what, gosh, she must have had to really get up early, or, oh, my gosh, you know, didn't they have school buses? And it was like, no, the school buses, they didn't have them at that time in my area, you know, or things like that, and say, well, look at how it is today. And what we're saying is that we can be resilient. I think that is the core to understand, is resilience. So, but really, to be about resilient is really about being able to understand that they were able to do these things, but they also just plain did them. You know, we look at it now, we say, well, I want to go to, you look at teenagers, and they say, well, yeah, I really want to do something. And you'll say to them, well, go to the store for me. And they're like, well, that wasn't what I wanted to do. In other words, it's more, they're looking to self-serve, to self-medicate, to bring something on themselves to, quote, feel good, instead of looking at how the world they have to engage in it. I mean, definitely your book, Lessons from My Grandfather, is about engaging in the world. You know, it's about touching, feeling, sensing, going around, and how do you help yourself and those around you? It's not just about you sitting there waiting for it to, you know, be entitled or drop upon you, right?
I think it's such a powerful point because, you know, you just look again, going to his situation, and I can tell another story, is that, you know, he had an apartment with eight other Greek fellas. He was Greek, and they all basically had the bed one night a week. That was it. One night you're on the bed, the other six nights you're on the floor. And just, you know, just that atmosphere, and just, you know, want to get ahead and want to do the right thing. And his, you know, his mantra was, you know, get your job. If there's 100 people lined up for that job and there's 100 people doing the job, come in early, stay late, work through lunch, show that you care, and ask for the promotion, ask what you could do better, ask how you can improve yourself. It was always about, you know, what can I do? In this world, and I've experienced this in my business careers and my success, is that you have to ask. You have to be out there. If you're in school, if you're not getting the grades you want to have on a report card, ask your teacher, what can I do to improve myself? What can I do to be better? Where are my weaknesses? And listen what they say, learn it, and get tutors or become better. In sports, if you're not the starter, why aren't you the starter? Are you not strong enough? Are you not fast enough? What do you need to do to improve yourself? If you want that promotion, what does it take to get that promotion? You know, there's just, people are afraid to ask, and I can give, you know, hundreds of examples of even just myself going that extra step of being out there and being one to ask. People are afraid to. They think you can't just sit back and expect things to happen with anything in life. That's anything. So these points you're making are very valid. Very valid.
You know, I can look at back at the last 10 years, and I would say I asked a lot. Some people would say, here comes the why queen again. She always wants to ask why, you know. And
right.
And I think the idea of asking why really stimulates conversation in people to be able to sit down and say, you know, I never thought of that. We always want to just take things at face value and believe them as such, and then we base a judgment, and then we go either left or right. Instead of just maybe saying why and then deciding for yourself, is it something that, you know, draws you in, or is it something that totally says this doesn't resonate with me? You know, this, rapid life where it's like, oh, do I want that? No. Instead of saying I might like to enjoy that for a while and see where it takes me. So
right.
I think sometimes when we look at success, we say, I want to have money, I want to have a house, I want to have a job, I want to have letters behind my name, and all of this. But when you come right down to it, it's really that you want to maybe help others. You want to feel that you've done as much as you could that day. You want to feel like you help someone change their world also. Or maybe that you just showed up so you could listen to someone. So all of these background things is really what comes across as all of the other success steps that we seem to put up on the top, and then we're like, I got to get there, right?
Right. I agree 100%. And, you know, the fact is that the point I was making before is that you have to ask, and I'm going to take it a step further. You have to be out there and make things happen for yourself. I can actually, again, I have so many examples of just scenarios with grandfather or with me or just people around me. I know that they've made things happen by doing something or making that extra step or going that extra yard or going around, you know, the normal way of doing things and getting things done. Nothing illegal, nothing sneaky, but just going that extra step or that creativity upon yourself to figure things out. So there's a big piece to that. And, you know, success – and being successful and what you want out of life, there's that big why we always talk about. What's your why? You know, what's your passion? You know, if you have passion and drive for something you love, or if you enjoy what you're doing, 70% of people in this country do not enjoy the job they're in. That's a shame. It really is a shame, because you can never be truly successful. You can succeed, and that's great, but if you love what you do and you have the passion and the drive and the commitment and the plan, you cannot fail. You really cannot fail. Now, you have to have the likability factor. I will tell you that my grandfather succeeded in life tremendously because of the likability factor, and I've witnessed it from his conversations, from his stories, and just from who he was. And I know, just being in the business world myself, the likability factor is so important in the business world, because people like you, they want to do business with you. But it's always what you talk about. I grew up from my parents, my mother as well, saying, you know, you could be anything in life, you could do anything in life. You know, they were a great driving force for me as well, my parents. And it was always about, it's not about what you know, it's who you know. You need to get the degree, you need to have the college degree, you need to get out there in the business world, and it's all about who you know, not what you know, but you need to have the smarts behind it. So I was always one that I couldn't wait to get out of school, get my degree on the wall, and what other you know, accolades I got through the business world with the initials like you talked about. But it's, again, being out there and being likable. So, heavy conversation, loaded it with a lot of stuff, but to go further than what you were saying, but that's really the angle there.
What do you describe as passion? Because people say, my passion is I want money so I can have things. Or they say, my passion is I want to live on the beach so that I can just enjoy my days. And it can be that separate. But what is a passion? How do you describe it so that people could understand, is this a passion or is this just, you know, me just showing up? Who knows?
See, I love the word passion because it exudes out of somebody's body. Like, I almost feel like my blood boils sometimes. Like, I could feel my blood in my veins when you're passionate. Like, you just want to, you know, take on whatever's going to come out at you and make it happen, no matter what the obstacles are, no matter what needs to get done, no matter how early you get up or how late you go to bed. If you have a passion or drive or something, you just have that in you. And the situation for each person is different. You know, some person may have a passion to have a charitable organization and feed the world. You know, some may have a passion or drive for the business they're in and just providing the best service they possibly can. And some people may have a passion to their family or commitment to their kids or whatever it is. But the word passion, it's a driving force within you that just allows you to enjoy what you're doing to the 10th level and actually push it to the next level. When I say to the next level, is because then people see the passion in you. When you meet someone that's passionate or has a drive, it's very empowering and very addicting. So when you come across someone that knows their trade or is passionate about their topic and you have a conversation with them, that you see like this, almost like it just jumps out of them. It's like it's just this aura around them. So it's a very addicting ability for someone to have that likability factor immediately because they're passionate. So it's a beautiful word. Tony Robbins, loves to say live with passion. He loved that phrase. I would use that phrase if it wasn't his already, because I love that. But I actually have my own. I use it's called. It's I say lead with passion and drive to success, and that's a very powerful statement that I like to use, because again, it's lead with passion. That's the passion's everything, and then use your driving force to succeed. So again, this is all beautiful stuff, but the word passion is very powerful, and the why behind it, the passion and the why, and the action and the attitude all come together, and these are very important pieces, because you can be passionate about something, and if you find your why, you get even more passionate, but the action and the attitude behind it is really what takes you to the next level. What are you going to do now with that passion? What are you going to do to accomplish your why? Or what are you going to do to fulfill the why in your life? And what's your attitude like? Is your attitude that goes along with passion? Passion is one thing, but what's your attitude? Are you upbeat? Are you excited? Are you energetic about it? You do the right thing. You hang out with the right people. You have that attitude that people want to be around. They want it's addicting to them. Again, passion and attitude kind of work together. So this is all good stuff, but I think I beat the word passion to death here, unless you have any other questions.
And if you also, too, look at the idea that what happens when you start to have that get up and go, that passion, that drive, you get along a certain path, and then you say, oh, my gosh, look what happened. Like something gets thrown at you or, something happens in your life and it kind of takes you to your knees. A lot of people are experiencing that, and they kind of go off into another world where of exploration of themselves, where they say, I need to quiet this thing. My body is broken. I need to quiet it down so I can still go to work. Or I need to go to work so I don't have to listen to my family, In other words, it's really about how to be engaged, I think, at all parts of your life, because they all need to work together. You can't say I've got a trail of passion and I go up every single day and have a success and then the rest of your life is falling apart, right?
That's correct. So you touched on a very important point. Life is life. There's tragedy. There's upset. It's upsetting situations. There's disappointment. There's things that'll actually back you up from your plan. There's things that'll derail you from your plan. Life will knock you to your knees if you let it. There's no question about it. So you have to understand, if we paint a picture that life is glorious and everything's going to be great and we're going to have no problems and guess what? People will die all around you. That's part of life. You will have tragedies. You will have upset. You will make bad decisions. You'll lose money in investments. You'll have people that were friends that stab you in the back and no longer are friends. You know what? That's part of life. You have to understand that is life. There'll be bad times and good times. It's how you handle those upsetting situations and knowing they're going to happen. So there's no false belief that everything's going to be glorious forever. It's not possible. Risk takers or people that are successful entrepreneurs, they've been bankrupt before. They come back stronger. There's tragedies in their life that set them back. It's how you handle each situation and keep moving forward. It's how you look at each situation and keep moving forward. It's how you want to deal with everything and keep moving forward. I always have the ability, and I work hard on this my whole life, and my grandfather was phenomenal at it, is don't look backwards. You look backwards to learn from the past, but don't look backwards. Don't have regrets. Don't have disappointments that you thrive on. Don't use negativity that backs you up. Every day is a new day. Start today, move forward. But if something happens, just, obviously you got to deal with it the best you can. If you need counseling or need, to seek your mentors or whoever they are, that's great. But you got to learn that things will happen. It's how you deal with that, which will make you a stronger person, and keep moving forward. So this is a very powerful point of mine, because I think people today, they get disappointed very simply. They get let down very simply. They give up too easily. All the best minds tell you, if you fail 8 times, well, you didn't try the 9th time. If you fail 50 times, you didn't try the 51st time. This is the way it works. So you have to forge forward, and you have to be willing to sustain the energy and the passion and the drive until you receive your results and whatever those results are. And again, it's not just about fame and glory. It may not be about, you know, success and money. Listen, everyone wants to make money. Everyone wants to have a nice high life, you know. But I will tell you another thing too with that is that I actually have helped a lot of my friends around me, people that know me. I'm a big proponent of living below your means. This is the way you beat the system. This is how my grandfather did it. My grandfather died a millionaire. He lived a very frugal life. He had a house, a little modest house here, a little modest house in Florida. He could have traveled the world 10 times over. He never wanted to be without. That was his big thing. I never want to be without again. You don't know what that was like to have nothing in my pocket and be on food lines. I will never be without again. I'll make sure I always have money in the bank and money saved up no matter what happens in life. So I've always lived below my means. I've always told my friends, and I've actually converted some friends around me that are making a lot of money, that are spending money on their house and their building and their family and they're traveling, and they're just strapped and stressed out and they're making $1 million a year. I said, hey, buddy, how about this? Buy a house that's half the size, $1.5 million, it's a $3 million house, and how about live below your means and keep reserving the bank? And it's called beating the system, beating the rat race. How about enjoy your life? So these are a lot of the mantras that I believe in and have lived around and lived with. So.
And it's also, too, about what controls you, your life controlling, who controls your life, Do you just, run and let life just show up and just take your reins, or do you really create that which you want to enjoy in life? That's really the whole basis, yes?
Absolutely, and that's another point from my book as well, is having a plan. You have to have the plan of action, the plan of attack. I tell you, one of the most powerful things in my book is many things, and just in general, and what I've learned. If you want to be the most successful lawyer in this country, in this world, let's make it even bigger, go out and find the five most successful lawyers that you know through your family and friends and through your business world. Even if you're in school, talk to the law professor. I'll just use that as an example. Find the five most successful lawyers that you know or you can get your hands on. And whether that person is to make a call for you and say, would you sit with my son or my daughter and meet with them? They want to be a lawyer. Of course, they're going to say yes. They'll find time to meet with you. I promise you they will. They'll be happy to do that and give back. Most of them always do. And they basically and you ask them the same 5 or 10 questions. How did you become successful? What was your big break? What mistakes have you made along the way? Why are you more successful than most lawyers? What could you teach me or have me understand, what the ins and outs are or the steps I need to take to be successful? What schooling should I work on? What classes should I work on? What extracurricular things should I work on? Where was your big break per se? What did you do extra and beyond most other lawyers? Why are you where you are today? I'm making these questions up, but let you hear what I'm saying. 5 or 10 questions, the same questions. You ask the 5 lawyers the same questions. You now have your roadmap. You now have your business plan from 5 successful right. people who said, this is what I did. This is how I got here. To get that information in your hands and now to follow suit and move forward with that information, how much simpler. I actually like to say a lot of times, success made simple. That's like my mantra too. That's a success right. made simple situation. So you can do that with everything in life. It's all around you. It's the people that take that effort to make that happen. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just going through school and going to law school and getting out and working for somebody, if you're fortunate enough to have a really good mentor at the law firm you're at, you can ask them these questions. But you know what I'm saying? I elaborate on what you said, but having a plan, oh my God, is so important. Having a plan is so important. And that's with everything. I've conducted class for people I love to go around the room with New Year's resolutions. I love that. So we have a room of 50 people, 100 people, whatever. Smaller groups are better. And each one goes around the room and what they want to do. I want to lose weight. I want to make more money. I want to spend time with my kids more. I want to coach their class. I want to get the next promotion at work. And you know what I tell you? I want. The answers are in all the things they say. All the things they say. You know what I'm saying? So you want to lose weight? That's great. Go on a healthy lifestyle, not diet, a healthy lifestyle. That means eating healthy forever, not dieting, and go exercise on the treadmill or elliptical or something 3 days a week. You want to get the promotion? Go ask your boss what it takes to get the promotion. Ask him exactly what you need to do to get the promotion. You hear what I'm saying? Everything, the answers are all in there with all this stuff. So having a plan of attack is not just writing out the plan of actions. It's actually figuring out the steps, but using the knowledge and information from other people as well, you see, because it's a powerful tool. Not only that, but there's so much available on the web and books and material. It's endless. So if you want to be something or go somewhere or get something done, then spend the time. It's called sacrifice, commitment, and get it done.
It's also, too, when you're right on the path and you're right on the right track, it doesn't even seem like it's not difficult. Sometimes it just seems to show up. But then people say, well, when I have these hurdles, I must be on the, quote, the wrong path. How do you share with them to be able to get through those paths to decide, is it the right path, or yes, you probably are on the wrong one?
It's a good point. So I like to always believe that I can move mountains. I can move mountains if I need to get things done. I don't believe in giving up. I believe in figuring things out. So with people in general, they give up too easy, they give up too soon. When it gets hard or gets tough or whatever it may be, or sacrifice have to be made, that's when people give up. They give up way too easy. So everything that happens, you know, if your business is failing, relook at what you're doing. Well, maybe you have people that are on salaries too high, or maybe you don't have the right people in place. Maybe you're not marketing enough. You're not spending money on advertising. So there's an answer to every failing solution, whether it's I'm off track because of my diet went off track, whether it's successes, whether your social life or your business life is not going in the right direction because maybe you're hanging out with the wrong people. You want to be around the people that are going in the right places in the right direction. You know, there's answers in all of that. So I would just tell people that are in a situation where they feel like they're going off track a little bit, and that's either life in general, as a family, or in business, or just whatever it may be. It doesn't necessarily mean they're failing. It means something needs to be retweaked. Right. Now, I do believe there's a situation when if you're in a business, let's use business for example, and mm-hmm. the business is failing and it's just not working. Well, you need to know when, you had the steam engines and went to trains.
Right.
You need to know that the next thing's coming. Guess what? You better hop from steam to trains. You're going to be out of business. You know what I'm saying? So, you got to keep up with the, and that's being an expert in your trade. And I'll hop to that for a second. If you're an expert in your trade and you stay up on the industry news and what's happening and stay really worldly and newsly and with the news, always knowing what's happening, then you'll keep a pulse on things. So you can't live in a bubble either. You got to keep up on your competition, your industry, and the movement, because that also could derail you. So to get back to your question, I think ultimately when it comes to something that's not working out, you got to sit down and reevaluate why. Why is it not working out? What are the measures and steps? And most people in life, they don't take the time to sit down, and I don't want to call it meditate, but it's focusing on you or the situation or the business or whatever it may be. You should take 15 minutes a day at a minimum of quiet time and focus on either at the end of the day, do it on how was the day, what did I accomplish, what do I need to tackle for tomorrow, or just anything about family, kids, business, whatever the characteristics may be, but I was talking about business right now. But I think with people in general, they don't take the time to reflect enough and to look at what needs to get done, because a lot of the answers are in what you're doing. People are keep grinding and grinding and grinding. You got to take quiet time to look at what's happening.
And also, to the idea that if you get to that spot and maybe your business is failing, well, your business was just to get you to a certain point, and now it's time for you to shift to the next level, or maybe it's now time to take that concept and do something else with it, or maybe it's now that you've learned enough and now you're on to the next step. I mean, to be able to have the foresight to be able to see that, I think, is really important too, don't you think?
I agree, and I will also say this, and the answer is yes to that, but sometimes you have to either have more money to get to the next level, more people to get to the next level, mm-hmm. which requires money, or more ability, or more intelligence in your company to get to the next level. But also it's very important to understand, not everybody was meant to own a business. Not mm-hmm. everybody's meant to run a business. You can have a great idea and think you're going to be a great business owner, and 50% of businesses fail a lot of times, because obviously, it's a lot to run a business. You have to have the ability to do marketing, advertising, sales, finance, operations, employee management, business, skills of budgeting and expenses and financial stuff behind it. So there's so many moving pieces. People think it's easy to run or own a business. It's not easy, and it's not for everybody. So some people are meant to just be an employee or a manager or a top executive at a company, and that's great. Some people think they can go off and start and run their own business. The sacrifices you make running and operating a business are extreme. The hours, if you think you're going to run a business and own a business to work less hours, they're not thinking wisely, because that's not what happens. You talk to most business owners that started a business or run a business, you're consumed with the business. And you have to have a fine line with family and business. You got to be able to balance that as well. It's very, very important, because it's overwhelming. So there's a fine line with that. So not everyone's meant to be a business owner. Not everybody can make the sacrifice to be a business owner. And even, listen, that just goes for careers, not just business owners. You want to have a successful career, it takes, you know, time, effort, and sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? It could take long hours. It could take, you know, getting in early, staying in late, working through lunch. You know, you got to have, if you're not married, it's easier. But if you're married, you got to have a spouse that's committed to that and understands that that's the sacrifice you both will make. But you got to know where to draw the line, too. You can't be working 7 days a week and not spend time with your wife or kids, because then where's that going to go? And that's called having balance. That's the difference as well.
Well, Mark, I think in closing, I think that really what the stories that you share in your book, Lessons from My Grandfather, Wisdom for Success in Business and Life, is really about how your grandfather enjoyed his life, how he got up every day, the thoughts that he said, and he said, you know, these are my values. This is the way I would like to be remembered, and this is the way I'd like to reflect myself in life, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I tell you, ultimately, if you look at people in general and the way they live their life, I mean, he got ahead in life, and this is a very powerful statement. He got ahead in life because of who he was. People liked to be around him. People liked him as a person. He was a hard worker. He was a good guy. You know, 5'2", little peanut, 5'3", whatever he was, you know, not a big guy. But they loved him, and they cared for him. So wherever he worked and he cared. He enjoyed the labor of the job. He enjoyed the job because it was a job, and people saw that, and they enjoyed being around him. So he always got that next promotion or the next promotion and the next promotion. Because he had the work ethic. But I have, you know, I have the fifth. I'm going to read them quickly to just because they're bullets.
Sure.
I have the 15 principles that he lived by, and a lot of this is what I live by, and this is what really the premise of the book is as well. So one is attitude is everything. And I'm not going to go into it in detail because it's in the book, but the one is attitude is everything. Take the mighty risks is number two. Number three is be resilient, persevere, and never give up on yourself. Number four, everyone you pass in life has something to teach you. Number five, no one ever does it alone. Number six, never stop moving in the direction of your dreams. Number seven, you must go the extra mile. Number eight, remain humble always. Number nine, look for what others don't see. Number 10, be awake and alive to the suffering of others. 11, to work is to survive. That is not enough. 12, be thankful for what you have. 13, there are no limits and no ends. 14, believe in yourself always. And 15, be joyful. So you look at these powerful statements, and I go on, you know, elaborate on each one in the book, but this is how he lived his life. This is how I live my life. And life that we have here today is very precious. You don't know when your last day is going to be on this earth. We have one life to live. There's no second tries on this earth. So you got to give it all every day. You wake up, again, how you use your 24 hours a day is up to you. You wake up in the morning, it's a good start to the day. And going from there is all up to you.
And I think your book is really great for all ages. Definitely, there's a lot of teens these decades, I think, that are saying, I don't have a family member. I don't really talk to my grandfather. He could be across the country. I don't talk to, you know, I barely even talk to my mother or father. Why should I talk to other relatives, you know? And they don't really have a sense of trust, support, or compassionate caring in their life, and I really think this book is something that will give them an idea of how life can progress with just a little bit more ease. They don't have to go out and, you know, be a rock star or be a football player, you know. They can turn around and say, you know, if I just had a corner store and that was the greatest thing and I loved it every day, then that might be exactly what is perfect for them. So I think it's really about having an idea to say it's going to be okay, and it comes from a very unjudgmental source, which is your book, yes?
Right. Well, thank you, yes. And, you know, the interesting part is I actually wrote in the preface of the book why I wrote this book. And without reading from the book, I will tell you, because when my grandfather passed away at 97 years old, and he lived an amazing life, retired at 60, millionaire, lived in 97, still millionaire, passed away. And years after he passed, you know, because it was so powerful to me who he was as an individual. And these young kids of today, I just feel a lot of them are lost. And I say, you know, 17 to 30 is a big age group, you know, high school, even younger, let's say 15, high school, college, post-grads into early career years. I said, it's a shame that I don't share the gift of my grandfather as my mentor with the world. He was such an amazing man, such an amazing mentor. I have to share him with the world. I have to share his inspiration and give them that mentor. And then also fill in the success I've had and what I've learned the last 30 years of my career. So put a book together that I can share with these people. Wasn't about the money. Wasn't about, because usually, you know, books don't make money. It was about, right. But, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort. I said, I need to do this. It was a burning desire. I have to do this. I need to do this. It was a lot of hours, time commitment, and money, of course, but I had a passion to get it done, and I'm very proud to be able to put this in the hands of the youth of America, because I feel that they don't understand the immigration story, the 35 and under, even the 40 and under, down to 15-year-old children. They don't understand the immigration story to come here with nothing and say, I want to make a life for myself. These kids have a roof over their head and a meal on the table. Right. They have a great start to the day, like I said. And that's powerful in itself. But have a mentor like my grandfather in this book. And I tried to put it together to say, here's a book that you can read to understand that you now have a mentor and a roadmap to be successful in life and business. And business and life, as the book is always written. And that's very powerful. So that's why I wrote the book, to give these people an opportunity to have a mentor. No matter what their situation is, no matter where they're brought up, if their parents are the parents that they really aspire to be or not, or their surroundings, this mm-hmm. book is going to bring them out of all that and say, here's a roadmap, here's an opportunity to have a mentor in your life that you may not have or don't know of at all around you, that are around you.
Yeah, I think sometimes people say, I don't really want to listen to those people. They're crazy. You know,
right.
We've all heard
right.
that.
Right.
And then,
right.
And I think the book is really something that's, like I said, so unjudgmental. It doesn't really have any strings attached. It's kind of something that you can just say, hey, you know, that sounds cool, and maybe I could try it. So thank you so much for this book. Could you share with the listeners how to find more information about you? That'd be great.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So the website for the book is grandfatherlessons.com. So just www.grandfatherlessons.com. And ultimately, I have my own sites, markdemetrio.com as well, that elaborates on more. But that's the two places, the best way to go and get more information on the book.
Well, Mark, it's been such a pleasure to have you with us. I think this is really a great addition to any library. Almost anybody can say this is a great gift for not only sons but also daughters. You know, it's almost
yes.
for everyone. You know, it's
absolutely.
Not secular. It's not everybody could try it and just say that sounds so interesting. So thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure in being on the show, and I wish you many years of success, and thanks again.
Thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more information about the book we talked about today, Lessons from My Grandfather, Wisdom for Success in Business and Life by Mark Demetrio, please do check on the link on the bottom of today's show page and you go directly to the website. And it really is about just saying, you know, I want to get up every day and make a difference. When you get up every day and you can't wait till the day ends to get to the next day, that's kind of a closed-end cycle. So really about looking at the earth and the world and all these things that you could possibly do. There's so much potential out there. Just go out and enjoy your life. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.